We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Didn't do what Swaggy P do. Teammates played great, and we came out with the victory, you know?
I'm trying to really get my NBA 2K rating up.
I just can't take it. You know, it's 12:02 right now. If they want to fire me at 12:05, I'll go home and find something to do. I'll have a good day.
Welcome, everyone, to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast presented by WynnBET. It is Friday, May 28th, 2021. Alex Berutha here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K. Train Kreit.
All aboard!
Folks, we're going to dive straight into the news. Well, first, let's touch on Ken's George Mirison jersey that he's wearing.
It's a beauty. Thank you. It's a beauty, isn't it? You know why he was 77?
He was 7 foot seven.
Boom. Exactly. Shannon got that pre-show as well. Yes. Yes.
We'll get to the Wizards later. Not that they deserve a ton of attention, but first let's go to the game that ended the latest last night, which was Nuggets Trailblazers. Jokic and the Nuggets go up 2-1 in the series with a 121-115 win. Jokic 36-11-5 with 4 3-pointers. Denver jumped out early in this one, 9-point lead in the first quarter, but ended up being a close game throughout. Denver shoots 53% from beyond the arc. Lillard had a great game, 37 points. Austin Rivers was the star of the show at the end of the game. 21 points, but a lot of those came in the final minutes, had 4 key 3-pointers down the stretch.
Off the scrap heap.
Yeah, he was just sitting at home for 2.5 months before the late season pickup, and he was terrible with the Knicks earlier in the season.
Terrible. Made me feel better about my earlier podcast recommendation of picking up Rivers with the Knicks 4 or 5 months ago on this show, but didn't really help my fantasy numbers where he was atrocious.
Not exactly, no. Shannon, how are you viewing this series right now? Because I'm someone who thinks Portland's going to win this series. Obviously, being down 2-1, less than ideal for them.
Well, I'm sorry that you believe that. I expected Denver to win. I mean, if Denver were at full strength, there's a chance I would have picked them to come out of the West. I think that's going to be tough without Jamal Murray. They still are very talented, even without Murray in the lineup, without Will Barton available. They're still very good. I mean, you have Aaron Gordon. Michael Porter Jr. is, you know, going to be he's very close to being an elite scorer at the NBA level. You know, he's damn good. I've praised him for seems like years now. Campazzo is looking really good. Sniffed a triple double last night. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 1 block.
Not bad for 5'10".
Yeah, not at all. Not at all. He's so I like the team. You know, it's I think they could.
He's getting under Lillard's skin a little too. Remember that? Did you see that extra bump?
Oh yeah.
At that half court foul, which I liked. That's playoffs, yeah. Baby.
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun. And you know, Will Barton's gonna probably be back. Yeah, he'll be back soon, it sounds like. I know he initially wanted to be back for round one. If they advance, I'm assuming he'll return. Maybe he'll be back if this series extends, you know, to 6-7. But we'll see. I think they're a very talented team, and I expect them to beat the Blazers.
I'll say this, Alex. I was pointing to Austin Rivers as the reason the Trailblazers win this series. And boy, did that blow up in my face last night. This bench for Denver still worries me. Millsap looks about 140 years old. He looks like he's making that old person noise getting out of a chair on every play, you know. Boy, Rivers made me look silly. I don't know if he can keep that up. What is the news on Barton possibly coming back this series?
He's basically game. It's day to day. So okay. It's a game, you know, basically I think he ruled out. He was ruled out of game 3 a couple days in advance, 1 or 2 days in advance. But his status for game 4 is still up in the air. You know, like I said, he initially wanted to return for round 1. So that's, I'm assuming that's still a possibility. But does that mean game 4 or game 7? No idea. PJ Dozier is also out, which doesn't sound like much, but that's why Austin Rivers is playing so many minutes, is because Dozier's out. Monte Murray just got back. He's, you know, he's looking good and giving them some minutes. It's a deep team, very deep team. And it seems like Denver's just been that way. You know, like you
mean Monte Morris, by the way,
right? Yes, Monte Morris. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Even guys, you know, they had Beasley was on the squad, you know, or the last couple seasons. So this team's always just had depth. But whether it's, you know, Jamichael Green, Paul Millsap, Morris, Rivers, there's just always someone who steps up and fills the role.
I always thought the depth was a bit of a problem come playoff time when the bench is shortened and it wasn't clear who the go-to guy necessarily would be on the floor for the Nuggets. So when they made that Gordon deal, I thought, good, it's time to, you know, go for some better starters and thin the herd a little on that depth. But then, you know, like Gary Harris, they probably would like to have now until you see Rivers just light it up like he did. That is the storyline from this game to me. Just shocking. Not just hitting 5 threes, but 4 in the fourth quarter. My goodness.
Yeah, he kind of saved them. I'm not saying Portland would have came back and won this game. You know, had it not been for Rivers, but he did save them. I'm not saying it's going to happen or it should happen, but I think if the Blazers lose this series, that Terry Stotts' job is in jeopardy. I think he's been there for a long time, and they continue to kind of just run into these walls, even though they have, I think they have more talent in the series. Like, they don't have a deep bench either, but their top eight's, I think, deeper than the Nuggets' top eight, at least.
All right, I got some MPJ stats for everyone. Since April 6th, which is Jamal Murray's first game out, so 25 games, Michael Porter Jr. has averaged 22.7.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
6.8 with 1.5 stocks and 3.2 three-pointers per game while shooting. This is actually the amazing part. 54% from the floor, 85% from the line, and 43% from three-point. His range has just gotten better and better since he entered the league. And if he's chucking up 7 three-pointers and making 43% of them per game, that's good. That's good for him. That kind of coincides with when Aaron Gordon came too, and it shows that they can be on the floor together because Porter is so good at stretching the floor.
Definitely. All right. Well, hey, let's go to LA, where the Lakers took a 2-1 lead over the Suns with a 109-95 win last night. Chris Paul, if you caught any of this game, you saw him fighting his right shoulder issues all game. They were strapping some odd contraption to him when he was off the floor. He shot just 3 of 8 from the field in only 27 minutes with a team worst minus 20 plus minus last night. Guys, can Phoenix pull this off with an injured CP3?
No.
Yeah, I don't see how either.
Yeah. I think they would. I actually think they would have if CP3 didn't get hurt, but I think there's no chance in hell now.
Yeah, they do at least have he's got 3 days to rest because they don't play until the 30th. I guess 2 full days plus, half a Sunday. But it looks bad. It looks bad. There's no other way to say it. And at Paul's age, you kind of assume the recovery time is longer than shorter.
Yeah.
I know they always the broadcast go to is that he's on a plant based diet now. But I don't think that will help fix a destroyed shoulder. I don't think
you just can't rub kale on it and then all of a sudden, hey, all right, it's feeling pretty good.
There are only so many kale salads that you can eat too.
You know what? Last night the Suns had a legit shot, even with the Paul injury. LeBron got off to a pretty slow start. He did end with 21 points, 9 assists, but it was still a bit of an unlikely LeBron game. Also, Lakers lost KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, to a quad injury in the third quarter. He's going to get an MRI today. They play again Sunday. So, guys, who do the Lakers lean on if KCP is out? You think Caruso or Wes Matthews?
Probably a combination of the two. I mean, Matthews is more like KCP. So if they feel like they need someone to fill that exact role, then it's Matthews. And they might need someone to fill that exact role because they are shooting awful from three. I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I'll get them soon. But
they shot 25% last night in the on 28 attempts from behind the arc.
Yeah, it's been rough for them. I will say, I agree with you, Ken. I think LeBron was really passive in the first half, but in the second half, he looked like real LeBron James. Yeah. I think he took off for the first 10 quarters of this series, and now he kind of put things in drive instead of neutral.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lakers are shooting 28% from three in the series, which if you're up 2-1 and you're shooting 28% from three in a series, that's not the NBA today. It bodes well for you. I mean, that's not going to continue.
Right. Things got a little chippy at the end. Did you see that? 35 seconds left. Schroeder drove to the basket. Booker gave him what I thought was a pretty mild push. And Brian Anderson, the announcer, said, accused Schroeder with maybe an excessive roll right there. But then AD's talking about how dirty it was after in the presser. I don't know. I felt like somewhere Michael Jordan was laughing. The Pistons would do him that to him about twice a possession in the old 90 playoff games. But I don't know. Is this going to stay chippy, guys?
Probably. I think at least the next game will. And then if the Lakers go up three, once the Lakers are up 3-1, that series clinching game, Probably in the second half. I guess it depends on how close it is, but by the end of it, it's not going to be chippy, right? They're all boys. LeBron and Chris Paul, they're boys. So,
Boat partners, you're referring to. Yeah.
One thing about the Lakers, and we talked about this, prior to the season starting, they're a much deeper team this year than they were last year. Even looking at last night's game, Montrezl Harrell did not get off the bench.
Didn't. I kept looking up at the, he kept cheering. He kind of doing his ML car cheering on the sideline. I'm like, is he ever going to see any minutes? And no, they'd much prefer Drummond, clearly.
Horton Tucker did not get off the bench. Markieff Morris did not get off the bench. Those are three big rotational pieces from the regular season for this team that didn't even get off the bench. And they still went 10 deep. Gasol played 17 minutes. Wes Matthews played 18. Caruso, 20.
I don't think they want Harrell trying to D up on DeAndre Ayton. Played 41 minutes last night. He still shot 11 for 15. But I just assume they consider Gasol and Drummond better defensive options.
With a team that has a true center like Phoenix, right. I agree. I do think there are – if you have Harrell in a fantasy postseason league, it's possible he could see big run, depending on future matchups, assuming the Lakers advance. So he's not necessarily a cut at this time.
Yeah. And Alex, before you talk about your Milwaukee Bucks dominating, I do want to say Ayton, very pleasantly surprised by the quality play from the young center for Phoenix. His first ever playoff series. I think Monte Williams coaching him up well, but 11 of 15 last night, 11 boards, 2 blocks. He looks like a vet in there. It's great. I'm really happy to see it.
He's 22 and 12 in series on 82% shooting.
It's crazy.
Nick and I talked about it a little bit. I think some of it is, the Lakers are aggressively trying to trap Devin Booker. They're just sending doubles at him constantly. And I think that
wisely so.
Ayton in the lane a lot. But Ayton is a guy who all season, his bread and butter has kind of been be in the right place in the right time, have good hands. Make your easy hook shots, and that's how you get to 80% shooting. Yep.
And there are plenty of big men who can't do that.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson.
Well, and you would think Ayton took a – Ayton, if you're a fantasy owner, you probably were not very happy with Ayton's season, right? He was – his points went down, his rebounds went down,
shot
his blocks went down. The only improvement that we have is he was more efficient this year. Slight increase in free throw percentage, field goal percentage, 62.6%, which is pretty insane. But it was frustrating for me wherever I had Ayton is, here's a guy, age 22 season, and he's playing under 31 minutes per game. He's supposed to be one of their primary pieces. It's good to see him unleashed and averaging 40 minutes per in the postseason. I do feel like on the flip side with the Lakers, it is matchup based, right?
Saric, like you said, with Harrell not getting off the court, they were not playing Saric. But it's like, now the young legs, they're like, give them Ayton a lot of run. But where was that during the season?
Right.
Yeah, I think. All right. So the last point to cap that off, last season, Ayton 28th in fantasy on a per game basis, A category. This season, 60th. So about a 30 spot drop there. Less than ideal if you took him in the third round. Let's move on, though, to the Milwaukee Bucks. As Ken writes in our document, spanked the Miami Heat yet again with a dominant 113-84 thrashing, which I think is an appropriate way to put it. This was wired.
Demoralizing.
It was. I kind of started feeling bad for the Heat after a while. Like, are they okay? Like, are things good in Miami?
I kept looking is Eric Spoelstra, head coach of the Heat, right? Because how is a Spoelstra-led team just getting thrashed this badly? And frankly, looking like they just gave up. There was one possession where they're running their offense, which they've been running all season. Butler has it at the elbow. And he has no idea that the shot clock's dwindling. And with like 1 second left, instead of putting it up, he just half-heartedly gives some terrible pass to Big Shots Bielitsa, for what was not going to be an open three anyway. And I was like, what is this offense? This just looks like a team that's already gone fishing. Or as my man Don Meredith used to sing, the Willie Nelson classic, turn out the lights, the party's over.
Thank you for that.
You're old enough to remember Don Meredith singing at the end of Monday Night Football when the games were a blowout.
No, yes? I'm not.
No,
I'm not. No.
1967 classic. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Thank you, Willie Nelson.
You mentioned Bielitsa. At some point, Eric Spoelstra gave in and played him, and Bielitsa came in and just decided to start taking 35-foot threes.
Got he was 14 like, points.
He's like, hey, no one else is going to take open shots.
Right. Right. I need a contract next year. These shots are going up, baby.
Yeah, I think Jrue Holiday, 19-12 in this game, the 12 is assists, plus 41, plus minus in this game. You mentioned it, Ken. I are you surprised? You know, an Eric Spoelstra coach Shock. Team is rolling over this badly. I mean, Nick and I kind of talked about it, wondering if it's some of it's fatigue from, you know, a lot of people talk about the Lakers, how short their offseason was. Oh, maybe we shouldn't expect them to get to the finals this season. I feel like that conversation isn't being had about the Heat, even though they were also in the finals.
Yeah, and you got to wonder about Goran Dragic. Is this – obviously he suffered bad foot injury in the finals, 35 years old. Is he now – you know, in decline? They kind of gave him that thank you contract for last year's performance. How many years is that?
Oh, I think it was only year.
Sorry. Yeah. Only 1 year, $18 million. So, but can you rely on Dragic next year? Who's your backcourt scorer on this team next year? Because Hero had a terrible season. There's all this talk about him enjoying the Miami nightlife too much. A little too much social media, not enough actual production. As like optimistic as you are last year, I can't just the demise this year. It's wincing.
Yeah, I mean the Heat as a team shooting 38% in this series. Jimmy Butler 31%, Kendrick Nunn 36%, Tyler Hero 28%, Trevor Ariza 20%. That you can't recover from that.
Right. That happens. Exactly. And some of that, I mean, you have to credit the Bucks D. They are a good defensive team. So that's going to be part of it.
Yeah.
I think everyone knows that the Heat played above their heads last year in the bubble. In that series where they beat Milwaukee, Giannis got hurt, Bucks might've already been too big of a hole anyways. I don't know if it would have mattered, but with the way the Heat were playing, but I am also not that worried about like Tyler Hero's long-term upside. I think it's still there. This year he didn't break out like many might have expected, but he was still solid and he saw an increase in most areas, most facets of his game improved. And I think we're going to see more growth, you know, the next couple of years. The weird thing for me is and there's a couple other teams doing this too, but why are they still going like 10 deep? They had 12 guys actually saw the floor, and I understand when the game's out of hand. I understand when the game's out of hand that's the only reason why Gabe Vincent and our boy Precious got in. But I mean, this is two games in a row.
They're
bullets, but still
they're grasping for straws, right? I mean, they're like, good God.
I mean, they finally like it. They wait until they're down 0-2 to put Dragic in the starting lineup. I was amazed that Dragic wasn't reinserted in the starting lineup before the playoffs even began. I thought they should have made that move. He was one of the big catalysts for them last year on making the run. He had a poor game. He couldn't hit a shot at all last night, you know, 3 for 4. But he should have been starting and playing 35 minutes from game one. And they have a clear top six, top seven. And I don't know if that's good enough. Like Duncan Robinson, he'll have his games where he goes 5 for 6 from downtown. But if he's not doing that, he's not a plus on the court. Trevor Ariza, a fantasy surprise the last couple months of the season. Is that really who you want to roll with as your starting power forward for a team?
Well, that makes that Oladipo deal look terrible. You know, Kelly Olynyk would have given him 20, 25 quality minutes of power forward. He sure would have done better than 0-4. I'm not sure it turns around this series, but
Yeah, and, boy, and they do look a little. They look a lot different if they have Oladipo healthy and playing as well. But it is confusing to me how they've handled the Dragic, Hero, Kendrick Nunn situation this year.
Yeah. We should give some credit though. Obviously, the Bucks are legit, and boy, Alex, how huge is the difference between playoff Drew Holiday and playoff Eric Bledsoe?
Cannot be overstated. I was listening to the Bill Simmons pod the other day, and I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a Bucks fan who said it's a lot easier when the Bucks are playing 5-on-5 instead of 4-on-6, referencing Bledsoe playing for the other team.
Holiday team high plus 41 plus minus ratio yet last night.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, him and this team fits together so seamlessly. I'm just really excited for this Bucks Nets series. I'm hoping to at least go to one game, even though it will destroy my bank account. But do you guys have any, Shannon, do you have any early predictions for that?
For the Bucks Nets? I mean, Bucks have been my pick all year. I think they're going to win the championship. They're my pick. So it'll be a good series with the Nets. I think whoever wins that series is going to take home a championship. I think if you look at recent history with these types of super teams, it usually takes, you know, they don't usually just immediately win a championship in year one. And the fact that Harden, Durant, and Kyrie have had, you know, next to no games playing together. I mean, how many games have all three been on the same court? Isn't it like 5 or 6 games? It's not many. It's
5. Yeah.
So I just don't think that's enough. And I know Durant and Harden have experience playing with each other, but that was years and years and years ago. I just don't think they have enough time to gel and reach their you know, be optimized enough to win a championship this year. And also they have a big hole in the middle. I expect Giannis to, I probably said this last week, I expect Giannis to average like 40 and 18 against them. Like it's going to be just one of the best performances we've ever seen in the playoffs.
If someone told you, Alex, at the beginning of this season, the Bucks are going to have a real advantage at the 5 with Brook Lopez in their key playoff series, would you believe that?
Probably not. And one thing I'll say that's kind of interesting, I might be the only person who really cares about this. I think the Bucks kind of became a great team 2 years ago when Giannis started playing more like a point guard and Brook Lopez was out there shooting threes. Yeah. And now they're becoming a way more effective team with both of them playing more like big men.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really kind of bizarre and interesting.
They need Giannis to be Shaq, not to be a point guard or the point guard version of Shaq. Mm. Like, you know, that's, Giannis is more Shaq than he is, you know, T-Mac or whatever he was trying to be a couple of years ago. He's more Shaq, and that's what they need him to be. Imagine this team if Bogdanovich, if that trade actually went through and he was on the squad too. Mm. I think they would be favored against the Nets if that were the case.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm too high on Bogdanovich. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to get into DFS later. There's not a whole lot of news for tonight's three matchups, but Kemba Walker is questionable for tonight's Game 3 against the Nets due to a left knee medial bone bruise. Gee, I'm really glad my Celtics rested him all season. Kemba's making $34 million this year, has 2 more years left on his deal. Just want to point that out kind of in a whining, complaining fashion. But gentlemen, get your DFS picks ready, where I think we're going to dive into that slate after our fan feedback section.
What's up, guys? Are you looking for a new contest to play during the 2021 NBA playoffs? If so, try Fantasy 5's new free-to-play NBA contest. It's simple. All you have to do is pick one player to beat their fantasy point target from each of the 5 games. If all your picks are correct, you can win a share of the $5,000 jackpot. Other guaranteed prizes are also available if you finish atop the weekly leaderboard, including an official NBA kit. Make the NBA postseason more interesting. Go to fantasy5.com today. That's fantasy5.com to enter your picks today.
Ramesh wants to know, this is a question for Shannon as much as it is for Alex. What is the RotoWire podcast basketball schedule for the rest of this year and next preseason?
Well, we're going to do at least 2 more episodes after this week. And then Nick and Alex and maybe Nick and James will drop some episodes as well the next few weeks. But I would say mid-June we'll probably run to for this year. And then let's assume, I know the latest news that I found on the 2021 start was they hope to start in late October, like they have in years past, other than this current season. So if they start at their usual time, we usually fire up like by October 1st at the latest. So we'll have a good like 3-4 weeks of ramp up until the season starts again. Maybe we'll drop something in September, but I would say late September, early October is when we'd come back.
Well, whenever the preseason does kick in, we're going to ramp up shows both on YouTube and on the audio podcast. So expect a very big preseason from us next year. And as you can already see, we're going a lot deeper into the playoffs. But so, Shannon, two more Fridays of us three amigos. Is that accurate?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, let's go get the DFS. I'm just going to run through the spread and over-under of each game quickly. We have Knicks at Hawks. Hawks are favored by 4.5. We have Nets at Celtics. Nets favored by 8. Clippers at Mavericks. Mavericks 3-point dogs, actually, and 2-point dogs, depending on where you look. There's some pretty significant differences in the spread there based on where you look. As far as injuries, Kemba Walker, we touched on it earlier. Questionable. Not great for the Celtics. Well, we may end up seeing a lot of Peyton Pritchard playoff minutes. We get to see some fast playoff Peyton Pritchard. Say that 5 times fast.
PP.
Yeah.
Low PP.
Sir.
How tall is he?
Give him a generous 6'1", I think, on the measurements. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Okay. Serge Ibaka is also questionable, I think. That back issue is flaring up again for him. He missed a lot of time because of that. I'm not really sure exactly what he had, but it's killing him apparently. Okay, so jumping into DFS, it's Luka Doncic is 10,500, but that may not be high enough for me to avoid him in a tournament setting. I mean, he's playing out of his mind. I know in the first game, he's just playing incredible both games. He's averaging like 35 points a game, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, basically. You're kind of on the same page, Shannon. Do you think? I mean, you could fade Doncic, right? To be contrarian, but
I think I will fade him. But that's also partially because I'm going to go Kawhi, Kawhi or Durant, and it's going to be tough to do multiple $10,000 guys. And I still believe in the Clippers. I still would pick the Clippers to win this series. I still believe that that's like, as far as a Luka matchup going up against, having Paul George or Kawhi guarding you. And I know Pat Bev has tried, but they have to run George and Kawhi at him and just eventually slow him down a little bit. You can't stop a player as talented as Luka, but at least slow him down. And I think they will do that. I think we'll see that tonight.
Is with Kemba Walker questionable, let's say he's out, does that just mean more Tatum for you? Or is that, are you looking to Smart Pritchard potentially?
Yeah, it would be Smart. I would definitely be higher on Smart. He is at 6,000 on FanDuel. So he's already going to be an option, especially if you're going – one or two $10,000 players, he's probably going to be worth consideration anyways. I also think Naismith would see more run. He's averaging about 17 minutes per in the first two games in the two games that he's appeared in. Smart will play 40 minutes if Walker's out. He might anyways. But it would be Pritchard. I'd probably lean between Pritchard and Naismith. I actually might go Naismith instead just because he's a little bit cheaper. He's already seeing 17 minutes per game. So we know that's going to increase if Walker's out.
The nice thing with Pritchard at only 4,400 on FanDuel is if this is a blowout, he ought to get a lot of minutes. And there's a lot of blowout potential here. But same for Neesmith as well. I mean, I could see, though, if this is a blowout, they're not going to exhaust Smart, and Pritchard could they'd rather, I'm both sure, give those yeah. kind of junk minutes to Pritchard.
Yeah, I actually, if you're just targeting like blowout potential, and then both, you can plug both of them into your lineup.
Yeah, I think Fournier would deserve some consideration as well. I think there's going to be a lot of different places people end up going if Walker's out. Not that Fournier's been, I mean, he's only got 19 field goal attempts in the series, but maybe that does bump up some.
He definitely is worth a look, and he's actually priced appropriately now. He's at 5,500, whereas, you know, I'm pretty sure he was closer to like 7,000 earlier in the series. So he's definitely worth a look at that price.
Fournier looks like a guy who has never practiced with his team.
Yeah,
it's driving me nuts, but yeah.
Ken, is there anyone that is kind of sticking out to you on the slate?
Well, to me, Tim Hardaway is still cheap, 5,700. You know, he's a streaky shooter, and he seems to be on a streak. So maybe he's going to be too popular, but he's definitely at one of his peaks versus valleys. And so now seems like a good time to hop on the Hardaway train.
Yeah. Go ahead, Shannon.
Yeah, Hardaway, and sticking with Dallas, I think, you know, Porzingis at 7,500 is a good price. The fact that he's played 35 and 32 minutes in the first two games is encouraging. You know, he was kind of beat up down the stretch of the regular season, and even the games that he did appear in, you know, he's seen like 21, 25 minutes. So the fact that he's out there playing 35 minutes now, you know, makes him a pretty good value at $7,500.
Shannon, are you concerned about guys from the Nets blowout situation, trying to pick the right one, that sort of a thing?
It looks like I'm probably going to avoid Nets. And even if I were going with one of the Nets, it would be Durant or Harden. I know Kyrie's gone down. He's at 8,800 now. But I like a couple. I would rather spend up on Trae Young or Luka for point guard, or go a little bit cheaper with like Derrick Rose and Kemba if Kemba plays. I like those options better than Kyrie. Kyrie's just at like 34 fantasy points per game, 35 fantasy points per game for the first two contests. But once you factor in Harden, Harden getting all the run that he gets, Durant taking on that scoring load, I just feel like Kyrie's pretty clearly number three there in the pecking order. You know, he'll have games where he blows up, but I think he's the riskiest of those three.
Yeah, I think so too. I think a lot of people are going to be on. I wouldn't be surprised if people just kind of avoid the Brooklyn Boston game. And I think a lot of people will just roster guys from the Knicks Hawks game, Clippers Dallas. I mean, you can get Trae Young at, I think it's 9,000. Yeah, 9,000 even on FanDuel. People who are looking for kind of, you know, a potential for elite value for under 10,000, I think are going to go to Trae Young at 9,000. I think that's just like the logical spend.
One, doesn't he seem like the most likely candidate to play 40 plus minutes tonight?
And it's a home game. Yeah, I think there are a lot of things kind of leaning in his favor. So I wouldn't be surprised if rosters get stacked like that.
And I'll tell you what, hey, kudos Derrick Rose at this stage in his career playing all those minutes, yeah. But he's not out there for his defense.
Well, neither player is out there for their defense, so right. They're kind of torching each other. It's great. Makes for some entertaining basketball.
Right, how do we feel about the taunting of Trae Young for his hairline, by the way?
Can't
wear a hat on the court, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, you know, he's got the hairstyle to he can hang on for a long time, I think.
I count hair as part of a body, and I don't body shame. Ooh, even though I have beautiful hair,
loving,
the rest of my body
man.
Can be shamed considerably. So I don't body shame. So I'm gonna toss up one for you guys. All right. So small forward, I actually think with small forward, there are a lot of good values. They're risky values, but we mentioned Fournier, 5,500, and then you have. And this is one I've went back and forth on the first two games of their series, DeAndre Hunter and Gallinari, 4,500 for Gallinari, DeAndre Hunter at 4,700. If you have to pick one of those two, Who are you going with for tonight's slate?
I like Hunter's upside of the minutes he's getting. And is he healthy? You know, and I think the answer is quickly becoming yes. McMillan clearly likes the fact he can play on both ends of the floor, which isn't so true of the Rooster. So I lean to Hunter.
Yeah, I think I'm going Hunter too. 32 minutes last game. He's shooting pretty poorly. He's under 35% right now, but I mean, he got 11 free throws last game, which was something early in the season we were like, he's getting to the free throw line. Like, that was a big improvement for him. And he's going to be out there for his defense also. So, which is something Gallinari does not. Yeah. He's a one-way player.
I'm with you guys on Hunter, and it's because of the minutes played. It's seeing that jump up to 31 minutes in the most recent game basically removes any pause that I had with going with Hunter. Gallinari is great, and I think Gallinari's got the higher ceiling for an individual game, and we've seen it this year. We've seen Gallinari go off and drop. I mean, he had 49.6 fantasy points on May 5th. Yeah, May, whatever date that was, early May. And he's dropped a couple other 40-point fantasy outings, and he can get hot and do that, but it takes one of those games where he catches fire from downtown. Hunter, if he's seeing 30-plus minutes at $4,700, I mean, this is a guy who cost $7,000-plus, you know, or right around there during his peak this season before his injury. He really was blowing up before he got injured.
I think that can pretty much wrap it up for DFS. Ken, it is time for your old man rant.
NBA players, stop whining about every call. It's utterly ridiculous. Shut up and get back on defense. That Booker call on Schroeder wouldn't have even been noticed during a classic 90s Bulls versus Pistons series. Kevin McHale almost decapitated Kurt Rambis in the 1984 finals, and all Rambis got was two free throws. Now, if someone breathes on Luka, he expects an and one. Hey, you soft sissies, quit the crybaby routine and toughen up for playoff basketball. FYI, Larry Legend called the 84 Celtics sissies for their soft play the day prior to McHale clotheslining Rambis. That's why I use the word sissies. Anyway, play the damn game. Stop whining.
Nice. That's actually an old man rant that I agree with.
You can get totally behind that one?
100%, Ken. And maybe it's just my age. But I feel like I went on a little bit of a rant about like LeBron James, and yeah,
it's always every shot.
Not
just James, every player in the NBA.
I don't know if it's just because the teams I grew up watching, you know, with the Bad Boys Pistons, the going to work Pistons, like, I mean, Sheed was loud and could be abrasive,
right?
But he wasn't a crybaby, right?
He wasn't always like
the only you could argue Tayshaun Prince and Rich Hamilton had a little rip. Hamilton had a little bit of crybaby in him, but everyone else on the squad was going to work, and they could have fit in with the Bad Boys.
Yeah,
and
Alex, yeah. Historically, who was the biggest whiner on the Bucks?
Oh man, I don't know. Nobody off the top of my head comes to mind.
It's not just the whining, it's the flopping around. That's the thing. Like, even I love LeBron James. I think LeBron James is the best basketball player of all time. I think if he and Jordan played one-on-one, LeBron would destroy him. I just don't think that physically Jordan would be able to do anything, you know, because Jordan's like 60 now. But I don't think I could be a LeBron fan even if he were on my team because of the type of basketball that I like. I like the hard-nosed basketball, the no flopping and whining and pretending like you're hurt every time someone scratches your back. Yeah, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Well, Ken, next time you're at Roto Hoops, I will remember to turn things up a notch when you go to rack. I don't think we mispronounced any names. Once you're in the playoffs, there's no.
Didn't Burkowski complain a lot for the Bucks?
Alex doesn't
I was born in 1993.
Frank the Brick House Brickowski played 90. He played in the early 90s. Yeah, before you were born.
Okay, that'll do it for us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It is presented by WinBet. Ken, take us out of here.
Yeah, let's go to Washington, baby, where Snickers, the candy bar people, made a parody ad of Michael Jordan's cologne. Alex, also too young to remember the Michael Jordan cologne, where Snickers, they launched a George Murison cologne. Seriously, they made a 30-second ad with Georgie for George Murison cologne. It starts with the My Giant star asking, "Do you want to smell like me?" And then ends with the host sniffing the bottle and asking, "Is that cabbage, George?" And George says, "Yeah, chicks dig it." Attention passengers, this three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.